Well, the letter of Hebrews was written to a group of people who had been on fire for God. They were a really encouraging bunch of people. They'd been publicly exposed to affliction. They'd faced persecution. They humbly accepted the confiscation of their properties, and they visited their friends who'd been put in prison. What an encouraging group of people. What about here at Acacia Ridge? I'm sure that you've had opportunities when you've seen people grow in their faith. When you've seen people put up their hand and say, hey, I want to serve the Lord. They put up their hand and they say they want to go and they serve the Lord wherever it may be. Perhaps there's been missionaries go out from the church and you've had the privilege of knowing and seeing some of them people. I remember for myself, one of the most encouraging things I had was when I was involved in youth ministry down at Finley, where I come from. And it was so encouraging when you see some of the young people finally get it. When you see some of the young people finally understand who Jesus was and the impact that had on their lives, the impact and the change that came about in them because they knew who Jesus was. It was awesome to see. But what about when people drift away from the Lord? What about when people drift away from the Lord? When I was in year 11, I was at a camp in Sydney, and a person I'd gotten to know pretty well, he was there, and we were in the same year. And this one night, he was speaking at the camp to a couple of hundred other young people, and he was sharing about what it was like to be a Christian living amongst non-Christians. And it was so encouraging to hear this person the same age as myself share how he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus and how he lived as a Christian amongst non-Christians. It was so encouraging. But 3 years ago, I was talking to another friend of mine about this friend who spoke at the camp. And I asked him about this friend who spoke at the camp, and my friend told me that he was no longer going to church, no longer going to Bible study, no longer interested in Jesus. What was it that he had forgotten? Why was it that he had lost his confidence in Jesus and drifted away? Now, I bet that all of you have stories like that. All of you have stories where you got to tell someone who said, yep, I'm a Christian, but now they're nowhere to be seen. I bet all of you have stories like that. And when I hear stories about other people who I consider to be strong Christians drifting away, I think to myself, hey, what about me? What's stopping me from drifting away? What is it that I've got to do to stop me from drifting away from the Lord? What will stop me from drifting away from Jesus? See, the people receiving this letter, they had been on fire for the Lord. But in chapter 2, verse 1, we're told that they must pay more careful attention to what they have heard so that they do not drift away. And in chapter 10, verse 35, they're told not to throw away their confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You see, these people are running the risk of drifting away from Jesus. So the writer of the letter of Hebrews sends them this letter of encouragement, encouraging them not to drift away from Jesus, not to lose their confidence in him. And he does this throughout the letter of Hebrews. But the thing is, it's amazing. He doesn't start with a problem. He starts with a solution. He starts with a solution. So, what would you tell someone who is running the risk of drifting away from Jesus? The author of Hebrews gives us the answer. And I think, when I hear about this group who the letter of Hebrews is written to, if they need to hear this, then I need to hear it. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for one day or for 50 days, 1 year or 50 years. If they need to hear it, I need to hear it. If they need to hear it, you need to hear it too. So, in verses 1 to 2a, we hear about God's final revelation. So, in the Bible, we all know Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and creation came into being. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn about God. And as you read all through the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you hear God speaking, God revealing himself to us. when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He told Moses to go, take the people out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Moses got there and said, who are you? He got there and said, I am who I am. Or it can be translated, I will be what I will be. You see, Moses and the Israelites, they're going to see who God is. And as they traveled from Egypt to Canaan, they saw who God is. And as we read the Bible, we learn who God is and we learn what God is like. God reveals himself to us. That's what verse 1 is telling us. It says, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. See, if you want God to speak to you, if you want to hear what God has to say to you, pick up the Bible and read it. Have a read of God's word. If you want to know what God's like, have a read of his word. But when we read the Old Testament, it's a shadow. It's a shadow of what is to come. You see, it's full of promises that God has made. But at that time, they hadn't been fulfilled. At the end of Malachi, these promises that God had made hadn't been fulfilled. For example, God said to Moses that he was going to raise up a prophet like Moses. Where is he? He's not found in the Old Testament. God also said to David that he would have a son, a descendant, sit on his throne forever. A puppet king is on the throne of Israel, not a descendant of David. So as we read the Old Testament, as these people would have been reading the Old Testament, what is it that God had been revealing to them about himself? Had he been revealing himself to be unfaithful? Had he been revealing himself to be a God who does not keep his promises? Well, if you're them, you'd really think it certainly looks that way. But we know that's not true. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. See, that's why we're told in verse 2, it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. See, Jesus is God's final revelation to us. Jesus is yes to all of God's promises. Before we go any further, you might be wondering, the question I'm going to ask tonight is, what can we do so we do not drift away? What can we do so we don't lose our confidence? And now, we're about to go and answer that question. What is it that we can do so we do not drift away from the Lord and lose confidence in him? So, the Old Testament looked forward to the day when God's people would have a prophet who would reveal God perfectly. It looked forward to the day when a priest would come and make purification for their sins. It looked forward to the day when the king would come. We'll look no further. Christmas Day, he was born. The first thing, we're going to look at three things. The first thing we're going to look at is that Jesus is the great prophet. See, the prophet's job was to be God's mouthpiece. They would communicate to God's people what God wanted to say to them. In a way, they were revealing to the people what God was like. And here, we have Jesus fulfilling that role. Look, verse 3, it tells us, he is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He reveals to us what God is like through the words he said and the life that he lived. See, people these days, they want to know, what's God like? What's God like? So they go to all New Age things and other religions, but they forget to look to Jesus. They want to know what God's like. They should look to Jesus, because he's the true prophet who reveals to us what God is like. Martin Luther once said, we get our theology from the cross. In other words, when we look to the cross and see Jesus there, we learn what God is like. When we look to the cross, we learn what God is like. Paul says concerning God and his own revelation to us in 2 Corinthians, he says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God comes through the person of Jesus. But how can that be? How can we see that Jesus is the glory of God? How is that? Simple. Because he is God. Verse 3, I like the way that verse 3 puts it in the ESV. It puts it that Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. See, when you look at your finger, you see that you've got a fingerprint. If you went up to a finger scanner and you put your finger on it, and then everyone else in this room did the same thing, then everyone in the whole world did the same thing, every one of us's fingerprints would be different because we're all unique. But when God the Father goes up to that and puts his finger on it, and then Jesus the Son comes and puts his finger on it, it's a perfect match because Jesus is God. That's the reason why he can reveal to us what God's glory is like. And you know what? So many people get that wrong today. Jehovah's Witnesses get it so wrong of who Jesus is. They say he's not God's son. They say he's not God. And even the disciples got it wrong. Philip asked Jesus, when Jesus was speaking to them before he went to the cross in John, Philip got there and said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Jesus reveals God's glory because he is God. But more than that, Jesus upholds the universe by his powerful word. On Wednesday, Julie and myself went to have the 20-week scan. And it's just amazing seeing the little heartbeat pumping away there. It was really cool to see. But then to read that Jesus sustains the world by his powerful word and step back and think, hey, the only reason this heart is beating is because Jesus wills it. The only reason my heart is beating is because Jesus wills it. The only reason your hearts are beating is because Jesus wills it. Jesus is sustaining the world by his powerful word. Is this not a little glimpse of how great Jesus is? Why would you drift away from him? Why would you lose your confidence in who Jesus is? He is the great prophet who reveals to us the glory of God because he is God. He upholds the universe by his powerful word. Why would you drift away from him? Second thing, Jesus is the great high priest. So not only is he the prophet, but he's the great high priest. And this is clearly seen by what he has done. See, Jesus makes purification for our sins. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, before he's even born, an angel appears to Joseph and says to Joseph, "She, that is Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." See, even before he was born, he was the one who would make purification for our sins. The priests in the Old Testament offered animals day after day to pay for people's sins. But Jesus made one sacrifice, one perfect sacrifice. It was his own body, and it was accepted by God. The reason we know that Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by God is because he was raised back to life. If that sacrifice was not perfect, Jesus' body would still be in the tomb, rotted away. But we know it's not, because Jesus' sacrifice was perfect because he was perfect, and it was accepted by God. And after he did that, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, Jesus' work was finished. When he died on the cross, he said it himself. He said, "It is finished." Back then, the priests would be there day after day after day, sacrificing animals day after day after day. They'd never stop. They'd always have to keep on going. But Jesus made one sacrifice, one perfect sacrifice, and he sat down because it was perfect. Jesus offered his body as a sacrifice for our sins, so that those who ask Jesus to be their king and follow him with their whole heart will have life, and will have life forever with God in heaven because of Jesus. See, is this not a glimpse, a little glimpse of how great Jesus is? That he is the great high priest who makes purification for my sin and for your sin. He is the great high priest who is now seated at God's right hand. Why would you drift away from him? Why would you lose your confidence in him? Third thing, Jesus is the great king. So we've seen so far that he's a great prophet who reveals God. We've seen that he's the great king. Oh, sorry, we've seen that he's a great priest who makes purification for our sins. But now we're going to see how he's the great king. Well, why is he the great king? Simply because he made everything. There's nothing that he didn't make. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." John tells us in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Through Jesus all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." See, Jesus is the king who owns everything because he made everything. Everything on this earth belongs to him because he made it. Is this not just a little glimpse of how great Jesus is? That he is the great king who owns everything. Why would you drift away from him? Why would you lose your confidence in him? So often we convince ourselves that, hey, I'm immune to this. It's not going to happen to me. I just heard a good saying from Ovi. It was meant, security doesn't mean complacency. Was that it, Ovi? Very good saying. Security doesn't mean complacency. And so often we think, hey, I'm immune. It's not going to happen to me. But when I read the Bible, it tells me that Satan is roaming around looking for those people he wants to devour. Satan is going around trying to deceive people so that they'll take their eyes off Jesus. And he does this in many ways. He does this through distractions. We become so busy that we don't have time to even sit down and read the Word, meditate upon God's Word, and think how great Jesus is. He makes us so busy so often that we don't have time to do that. And I know for myself, I need to pull myself back in line and say, hey, I need to get back to the Word. I need to get back to reading about Jesus. He also does it by making us so busy that we don't have time to go to Bible studies. I'm just too busy. I can't make it. We don't miss out on the opportunity but to hang out and fellowship with other Christians and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. He also makes us so busy that we don't have time to go to church. I've got other stuff I need to do. Satan loves to distract us while making us so busy. Another thing he loves to do is those false teachers. Those people who think that there needs to be a little bit more done, doesn't it? I can do something to earn my salvation. How about I go and I knock on a few doors? I'll just go and do that. And if I knock on enough doors, that will get me there. That will get me there. If I do enough work, that will get me to heaven. When you read the Bible, it doesn't say that. Also, those people who deny the work that Jesus did. They say, he didn't actually rise back physically from the dead. He is just a spiritual thing. You read a lot of people who say that, and they deny the work of Jesus. They say it wasn't enough. And you know what? I'm a bloke, and I need to be told things a few times. I'm sure if you ask Julie and she's asked me to do a thing a few times, I'm sure she'd say that she's had to do that a few times. And I need to be told the greatness of Jesus again and again and again and again. And I'm sure for you other blokes, and I'm sure for you women as well, you need to be told about the greatness of Jesus again and again and again. And when we know the greatness of Jesus, when we love him and follow him, when we know that he is the prophet who reveals God, the priest who makes purification for our sins, and the king who reigns forever, and we love him, we will follow him for the rest of our life. I love the old hymn, Tell Me the Old Story. I think it's a bit of a cracker. And I love the words it has in it. So I'm going to read them out. It says, Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tone and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the same old story, when you have cause to fear, that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear, and when the Lord's bright glory is dawning on my soul. Tell me the old story, Christ Jesus makes me whole. We can bow down to a king, we can listen to a prophet, but we can't come to God without a priest. Would you drift away from Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're sorry for the times that we haven't looked at how great Jesus is. We're sorry for the times when we have not read your word and just tried to somehow grasp how wide and how high and how deep your love is for us. I ask you'll help us to always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when other distractions come into our lives, I pray that you will help us to realize that they're taken away from our relationship with you and help us to put them aside. We ask that you also help us to throw off the sins that so easily entangle us and help us to run the race you have marked out for us with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Help us to be people who love him and want to spend the rest of our life with him. Help us to be people who live the way that Jesus wants us to live, the way that Jesus lived. Help us to do that. And I pray that you'll be putting people around us, that if we ever start to drift away, those people might be able to give us a slap on the head and tell us to wake up to ourselves and look back to Jesus. I pray you'll place people around us who are willing to do that. And thank you for your word. Thank you that in your word, you point us to Jesus, that he is your final revelation. He is a perfect revealer of you. Thank you that you sent your son to do that for us. Thank you that you sent your son to die on a cross for our sins so that we might become your friend. Thank you for that. And I pray that you'll help us to live the rest of our lives in gratitude and thankfulness to what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because of things that are going on in our lives, but thankfully we have Jesus and his spirit to continually remind us of the need to come to church. And when we do, we're really encouraged. So hopefully this song is an encouragement for you as you go out this week, as you remember to continue to serve him no matter what happens. Let's sing together.
That concludes tonight. Hope everyone has a great week, and look forward to seeing everyone back here next week. How about we'll pray first before we head off. Lord, thanks for the opportunity you've given us to gather here tonight. And we ask you to keep us safe this week. And I ask you to be keeping us aware and looking for opportunities to share your great news of Jesus, our Lord and King. In his name we pray. Amen.